three, two.
Welcome to the Dutch Bros Podcast, sponsored by me. Hey, welcome to the Dutch Bros Podcast. Brant Boersma here. You know what? Today we're going to continue on in our how-to series. Our topic this day. You know, my daughter used to say it all the time. I was like, what are we doing this day?
Today.
I'm like, this day we are going to go to Nani's and swim. This day we are talking about how to stand out. But really kind of to break that down, because obviously it's easy to, you know, be at the, say, the World Series of Poker and wear a huge, like, headdress with a shirt that says, I lost this bet, and stand out because everyone else around you is wearing regular clothes. You know, it's easy to stand out in that way. But we're talking about how to stand out in a healthy way, really talking about how to be acknowledged for effort and work and the things that maybe, you know, you're not doing it for the praise, but you're doing it because it's necessary. So we actually have in-house today with us on the streets. He's known as Mike Curlinger.
Don't say that.
Is that how it is on the streets?
No, on the streets they call me Stanky Yankee.
I believe it. Only because baseball smells. We got Curly in the house. Curly, Mike Curlinger, a.k.a. Curly. Some of you guys may not know this or not, but he is our audio engineer here at Dutch Bros Coffee. And you actually come from a long line of listening. why don't you tell me about, like, Curly, what do you do exactly?
I like to talk a lot, so it's ironic that now I just sit and mix other people talking.
Yeah, you hear everyone else talk.
Yeah, now I hear. I'm actually going to have to listen to myself after we do this, and it's probably going to be miserable.
You're like, why? How long have you been working out here at HQ?
What's today's date? We're recording this.
I don't know. It's sometime in
July 19th. So I've been here.
Do we want to acknowledge that? We're talking to the future. You guys, let's just say that it's nice. Been, the weather's been good. July's been great.
Dude, July's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know how many forest fires we've had so far?
No.
None.
Dude, don't say that. Don't curse it.
I've been at HQ for 5 months and 18 days.
Wow. To the day. But you've been working really in production for a long time.
Yeah. My first experience in production was as helper number two in the pajama game at Phoenix High School.
Helper number two?
Yeah, I had one line.
What was it?
I don't remember.
What is production exactly?
Production, the easiest way to describe production is being behind the scenes. I started out, like, I did a little bit on stage when I was younger, but I transitioned really quickly into backstage, stage managing, stagehand, audio, lighting, the stuff that makes the show happen that people don't really see.
Yeah, it's all the magic, really. The details that kind of come behind.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because the only real production that I ever really help with, I feel like, is National Brenner Day at my house. You know, and that's a, like, one that's like, okay, it's a production. It's an event. What?
You coordinate it.
I coordinate it.
You don't help.
I do. With the setup. So wait, hold on here. Now, is production the whole process, or is it just preparation? I mean, is it limited? Is it open to all the things?
Well, no. I mean, production is setting up the stage beforehand, and it's setting up the lights beforehand,
and it's the teardown
speakers beforehand.
Well, I'm just gonna say, Mark Berry has never cleaned up at Brenner. Okay,
so
when everybody leaves, there's somebody that and Amber Rose is awesome.
So Mark helps with load in. He just doesn't help with load out.
Yeah, well, he actually, this year he didn't do anything. So let's get off it. It's too sensitive still. But so with production though, how do you make it so that it's not like, because that is the problem. Like, for instance, Brenner, this big event, I help organize it. I put it all together, make sure that it's flowing, but I can't help but to like want to be a part of it and be in it and like not necessarily be there to support. But when I'm there, I'm like, I don't want to support anymore. I want to enjoy it. How do you make it not about you? What is it in you that makes it like, hey, I'm just going to make sure that I'm continuing to produce this?
I don't know if you can define what gives you fulfillment or decide what gives you fulfillment. In a lot of ways, it takes a really sick person to enjoy live production, actually, because it's very long days.
Yeah.
And it's hard work. And a lot of the time, it's a lot of travel. You have to decide what fulfills you. Like when I go to a show, I still love going to theater.
Yeah.
But whereas a lot of people might just be listening to the singing or watching the actors, I'm noticing the lighting, and I even noticed the set changes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they'll have runners on the stage and these set pieces will slide across it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that track. That was such a sweet set change. Or a lighting transition. I'll be like, oh, that was such a good lighting transition. So even when I'm just there to enjoy a show and watch it, I still can't help but notice the aspects that are behind the scenes.
Right.
But then when I'm working a show, if I'm mixing something and I think it sounds good, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice. That was a good move. But when I'm watching the people there and I see them react and I see them like really get into it, or the band is just flowing so smooth and I just know that people are engaged with the show.
Right.
I'm enjoying the music, but mostly I'm enjoying people's responses.
Yeah.
And when I see them respond well, that means I did a good job.
Yeah. When you're in that production kind of role, what you're doing is you're a huge supporter mm-hmm. for it. Does it take away from the magic? Is there ever any more like just in awe moments kind of, or is it more now of like the capabilities or?
I think both. I don't want to say I appreciate more because it makes it sound like I'm like, oh, I understand more than you do. And I don't mean it like that at all. Just I appreciate more about the show than I would have beforehand.
Yeah. Because you're seeing a bigger picture of it.
Yeah. I'm just seeing other things that are going on that people who haven't done it might not notice. Like, you know, I hate cooking.
Yeah.
I'm okay at it, but it's a lot of work. And I spend like, you know, 40 minutes cooking and 30 minutes cleaning up, and I eat for like 5 minutes, and it seems like a waste of time to me. So a cook might be like, oh, I sent some cardamom and thyme in there. That was very nice. Whereas I'm like, man, that was a good burger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just appreciate different things about it now.
When these big productions are going on, usually like, for instance, we, you know, did our 21 Pilots show up at Kocha. It's a huge event in Portland this last year, and it was awesome. And we put on this big production, and the show was great. Or even our Kocha event itself was just awesome. But like, you're not getting the accolades. Maybe a few,
mm-hmm.
but like, majority of people aren't coming to you and saying like, dude, that was so amazing. They're going to the performer, they're going to the actor, they're going to the musician to praise them and do all that stuff. How does your ego deal with that?
So this is funny. When I was younger, when I was in youth group, I had another nickname besides Curly, which was Open Mic Mike. Because anytime...
Jot that down, Mark. Open Mic.
Anytime someone was like, if you have something you want to share, you know, please come up. I was up there like every single time.
Right.
And I think in a lot of ways, there was actually a lot of spiritual growth for me that came with transitioning to a more behind the scenes role. Just me growing up and maturing and not needing that recognition from people. So being a supporter, there's two things. I love live music. So when I do a show, the shout out to Almost Classy, I'll tag you somehow. Maybe not. I don't know. There's this band out of LA who are just amazing. The first time I mixed for them, it was at Jackson County Fair, and they finished their set. And I walked up to them and I said, why are you guys playing the Jackson County Fair?
Yeah.
You're freaking awesome. So people didn't come up to me and say, oh man, Almost Classy, you sounded so good. They went up to them,
totally.
To Aaron, and they were like, dude, you guys are awesome. So for me, the two things that give me fulfillment out of that are, one, if people go up to the band and they say, oh, that was so good, that means that the band sounded good. If the band sounds like crap, people won't enjoy the show.
Right.
You can only make a bad band sound so good.
Yeah.
But you can make a good band sound really, really bad.
Yeah.
So if people have enjoyed the band, that means I did my job well. And they don't need to necessarily come tell me that. But then the flip side of that is the people who do understand, do recognize what I did. And so they will come and say, hey, thanks, man. So for me, a big compliment is not someone who attended the show coming up to me and saying, oh, they sounded amazing. You're such a good sound guy. For me, the big compliment is the band coming up to me and saying, dude, that was such a great mix. Thank you.
It's interesting. I'm not a big production guy, but I'll have lots of employees, you know, that work in the stands. They'll come up and they're like, hey, what can I do to be better? What can I do to be better? I feel like this is kind of in the same vein, but I'll tell them, I'm like, hey, if you want to be awesome, make your manager look like they're unbelievable. Make them look like they're great. By making your supervisors or those people that are oversee you, by making them look amazing, it makes you look awesome in their eyes. It brings more attention to...
I like Luke.
What a jerk.
Can he come back all the time?
By the way, FYI, guys, we have I think it's in honor of New York Curly being on our podcast today. We brought friend Luke Norby, aka the Don Juan of Dutch Love, into the studios just to be a part of it so that they could, you know, actually get... It's an interesting... New York has a totally different... Well, it's a different vibe than than the West Coast. East Coast has a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And so these guys bring this East Coast flavor. So
I came decked out just for the podcast. I have my Yankee shirt on. I noticed Bronx it. Yeah. This was intentional.
It was?
Yeah. Good. Luke was just a
that was an add-on
surprise.
Yep. They're like, oh, well, should have figured. Yep.
So if you're looking at, hey, man, if you're asking your manager, how can I just really excel in the stand? I hope a manager wouldn't say, make me look good. I hope they'd be a little more tactful than that.
Yeah, they're like, just, hey, make me look great.
But exactly. But the thing is, you don't work for whoever. We do work for the customer, but you don't. You're not employed by the customer. You're not employed by the people at the other stand. So why do you want them to recognize what you're doing? The person who matters, your manager, knows what you're doing and they recognize it. And they will say thank you. If you're doing it because you want to be awesome, then it only matters if the person that you're accountable to recognizes it. I think the other thing I wanted to touch on as far as getting better, I didn't go to school for this. I didn't go to college for sound engineering or any sort of production. I was just around people who were good at it, who were willing to invest in me. I found out early on, for whatever reason, I love it. People always say God gives us the desires of our heart. What I don't think that means he fulfills the things that we want. I think that means he actually gives us the desires. So if you're passionate about something, that means God gave you that passion.
Yeah.
So you should pursue it. So I just found out that I loved it. So I was like, okay, so this is something that God's given me that I enjoy doing. And I was fortunate enough to be around people who were willing to invest in that. But I picked up everything I could. I just watched guys and I asked questions.
What would you do? Would you just kind of be available?
I mean, I worked a lot. Yeah, I was super available. I worked every show I could get. Mm-hmm. I worked some really, really crappy shows. Worked some really, really awesome shows. I'm going a little bit on a tangent, but Mark and I were just talking the other day. This was like my first season out at Brit. And I don't know if you guys know who Herbie Hancock is. If you don't, he's a legend. Just the dude's been around forever. And I must have been 16, maybe 17 years old. And Herbie's band left the stage. And I was sitting on the side of the stage, maybe 15 feet away from him, next to one of his technicians. And I realized he was alone on stage. There was no one else behind us. And I'm sitting there and I was like, I'm getting paid to just sit and listen to this legend. Like, I'm 15 feet away from this guy who's been doing this longer than I'm alive.
Yeah.
This is awesome. But almost everything I learned by asking two questions. What can I do? And how do I do it?
Yeah.
And I learned real quick, it's hurry up and go. When we have two or three semis rolling in to do a show.
Yeah.
And we have 4 hours to get set up. And then we have to line check. And then we have to sound check. And then the doors open. And then the band's coming on. And then there's a changeover. And then there's a show. You bust your butt for 4 or 5 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And then you might sit around for three.
Yeah.
And then you bust your butt for another 4 hours while you're trying to get out. Because you know what? That band whose truck you're loading up is getting back onto the freeway. And they're driving 5 hours to do it again tomorrow. They're not going home. So they want to get the crap out of here. So people don't have a lot of patience for guys who are cocky or guys who do things the wrong way. They don't want any of that. Most people in production seem kind of curt or more like jackasses. But it's because they got something to do. We have a showtime that we have to meet.
Right.
So I learned if I don't know how to do something and I do it wrong, they'd be pissed at me. If I said, oh, hey, how do I do that? They would show me and they would appreciate that it was done the way that they wanted the first time.
Yeah.
So I always tell people those two questions. What can I do? How do I do it?
It's probably safe to say that if you're trying to actually stand out,
mm-hmm.
In a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that actually is valued, it takes a lot of hard work and willingness to do the things. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, hey, listen, I want to move up, or I want to be better, or I want to do all that stuff. And they seek out, there's a mentor that I can gain knowledge from and wisdom. And they go and they ask for all this stuff. And then they're like, okay, go do this. And they're like, well, suck. Like, oh, you want to get in shape? Well, just go work out and eat less. And it's like, well, hey, friend, hold on.
I don't want to.
But I don't want to. That's real life.
Hashtag Clayton from Dutch Brothers.
Oh, geez. So, so I mean, a good way to stand out is really to be a great supporter.
Why do you want to stand out? I mean,
truth.
Are you just looking for people to stroke your ego and to make you feel special? Or are you wanting to get better at something you love doing? I don't want to be a better cook. I hate cooking. I think before Alyssa and I were even dating, back when I was trying to get her to go out with me and she wouldn't do it. It took me 4.5 years of asking her out, by the way, before she finally said yes. I know. I was a chump.
Well.
I brought her. I forget why, man, but she wasn't feeling good or something. And I brought her a tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Aww.
And you know what? It was probably not that good.
Yeah.
But for me, I friggin' made food and I stood out because it was something that was important to me.
You supported her.
Yeah, I supported her.
With passion, a 4.5 year
like, it took a long time, man. Jeez Louise.
But that, you know,
shut me down hard.
But that kind of, it's actually a really good example of putting in the effort and the work to get what you're after. If you know what you want, if you know the reason why you want to stand out, because it may not be that you want to be the star. In reality, to be fame, if I was to ever like reach a fame status, right, where I'm like this worldwide renowned, I wish that it would be as like a writer, even though I'm not a skilled writer by any means, but because they're not like visually seen really, and because I feel like they can live more normal lives than like actors or musicians that are front and center. Even like being like a back behind the scenes musician, you know what I mean? Like, because being the front, the like person in the front, it's just, dude, that is a lifestyle I do not wish upon anyone.
Well, that's
why
I do like production. That's why I like the podcast. My mom always told me that I had a face for radio.
Well, she is a truth bringer.
She's awesome. Yeah, why do you want it? I have ambitions. I want to mix
right.
a record that wins a Grammy. Like, let's be honest.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be the artist for that.
But I want to mix something that wins a Grammy. I don't want to do that because I want people to say,
right.
oh my gosh, Curly's so amazing and he mixed this
album.
Wouldn't,
they'd call you Mr. Curling.
I hope not, man. But
or open mic.
Open,
yeah, they call you open mic.
I should not
mic.
Have said that. I'll cut that out myself. I can't do that.
Yep.
I want to do it because that's the pinnacle of what I love.
Right.
I want to do that for me. And so every step I've taken to get better at this, it's not for more recognition. I mean, it's rad, you know, when here at HQ, Trav goes, hey, give a hand to people who helped with Kocha. And maybe Caitlin says, oh, Curly directed Kocha. Like, let's say thanks. But that's rad. But I didn't do it because I wanted people to clap for me. I did it because it's my job
and
because I love it.
And it's refining you.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's being here is making me so much better. I'm stepping into new roles that I haven't done before.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting better, if you're not pursuing opportunities to move up, honestly, move up or move on.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in that pursuit of putting in all this work and all this effort and all this time and energy to supporting things, it's also like, dude, you got to lose that need, that ego that needs recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know the why. What am I trying to stand for, first off? And then if you have that, you know that outcome that you kind of want, then it doesn't matter to get the accolades right now. So if you're in the stand and you're like, you know what? I really want to pursue franchising, or, oh, you know what? I really want to pursue a career in counseling, or, oh, I want to really become a teacher, or I'm going to become an RN or whatever it is. And you have that, then it doesn't really matter for the accolades that you're getting for support. Like, honestly, let's just say in my marriage, I want to be just an amazing, incredible husband, right? But to do that, I don't need my wife to be like, oh my gosh, you're the best ever because you took that trash out. You took the trash out and you're the best husband alive. No, like you want,
no,
like you
Alyssa's
do that.
Like, why haven't you taken the trash out yet?
Hey, yeah, exactly. You're showing that support. Because you're like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't need the accolades for this. I'm doing this because, A, I love to make you work less.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things. A, work your butt off. B, do it for the passion in you, not for the accolades. And then C, like, when you actually you're caring about how the performance of someone else, it takes your eyes off of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not as disappointed in you. You know what I mean? Like, because if I'm so focused on me when I don't get the prize, it can lead to a little bit of disappointment.
Yeah.
But if I'm about someone else, then it doesn't, if I'm about them, even if they don't get to where they're trying to get, if I can support them and try to help them in their pursuit, it helps. I feel good. I feel good about it.
Well, here's a great current example. Kevin Durant.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he's getting a lot of heat, but if he really wanted all the personal accolades, he'd have stayed in Oklahoma City, but he's joining a team and to try to help this team to win.
Truth.
He's taking himself,
it's true.
He's admitting on the grand stage, like, I need help and I'm going to be a supporter now, not the main.
Right. Man. I get you. Can we just side note that Kevin Durant's getting paid more than Steph Curry is? Come on.
He is?
Anyways, yes.
Woo.
Currently.
Woo.
Tell me how can I be a good supporter? How can I produce so that I stand out in a healthy way?
Do your job. No.
Well, that's true, though.
We always joke around that nobody cares who the sound guy is until something goes wrong.
Totally.
When something starts feeding back and squealing and hurting your ears, then you notice everybody like glares and turns around and looks back at the front of house.
You failed.
What's he doing? So, I mean, in a lot of ways, I guess it's very particular to certain vocations. It's not true of everything, but in a lot of ways, when people don't notice you, it means you're doing your job really, really well.
Yeah.
Because they're able to focus on what's important. So maybe you're just the best person at pulling shots ever. Like every single shot you pull is perfectly timed and you're ambidextrous and you can do it with both hands and you can pour with both cups at the same time. And then sometimes if you're wearing your Birks, you can even pull an extra shot with your toes.
Ooh.
Don't do that.
That's it.
But
yeah.
You know what? The person in the window never sees that. The customer doesn't see that because they're sitting there talking to the one giving them the drink. That means you're doing your job, man. That means that you're doing your job well because whoever's in the window is able to sit and engage with the customer without being distracted.
It's true. It's like Disneyland. When you go to Disneyland, you're fully engulfed in this world of magic, right? And you're in there. And some people aren't. I am. This is how I go. When I go to Disneyland, it's amazing. But it's only because they have so many people that are supporting and doing their job fantastically and working hard to create a setting and atmosphere that I know I'm in the land of Disney, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in this magical place. And it creates memories. It creates these lasting things for myself, for my friends, for my kids, you know, and it creates these moments that are going to outlast the production of them putting on. And, you know, it's really just being part of something that's bigger than yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, so much of it is, like you say, there's a band on stage. There's our actors on stage. Nobody paid money to come stare at me standing in the back of the house at a board.
Right.
And if you're doing it for yourself and you need people to recognize you for that, it probably shows a little bit of insecurity, honestly, if we're being real on the podcast today.
Don't be real.
Oh, I'm just sorry.
Hashtag, I don't wanna.
No, if you're doing it because you're passionate about it, though,
totally.
That's when
that's
it becomes fulfilling. I do audio because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
I'm happy because I got better at what I love doing.
Right.
Well, and kind of common theme I see with all of them is you don't necessarily have to create the vision, but like get on board with the vision.
Well, I want to say that it doesn't, let's just take Dutch Bros out of it. If you're wanting to stand out, period, you know, to me, the people that stand out the most, because I do believe there are a certain amount of people that are literally changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
There really are. They are actually making changes. And those people are pursuing the things that they care about. You can see it in what they do. You can see the passion. I mean, I took my daughter, Taya, to go see Hamilton with the original cast, and Luke got to go along.
Rub
it was radical.
In, dude.
But the reason I did it was because, man, this was something that was so amazing because I could tell the guy wasn't doing it for accolades. He didn't put it on. This whole production was to share a message that was, and it was radical. It was amazing. And I can't help but to get over, like, I'm like, dude, this is, you know, my shot, you know? I'm like, wow, dude, this was a shot at life. You know, we all have this. And I go back to all these songs that were created. And then I remember being at the show, the show's over, and everybody's clapping, man, and it was awesome. And, like, now you could film again. And I couldn't even think about it because it was just, like, I wanted to film the cast taking a bow, but I couldn't because, like, I totally spaced it because I couldn't help but to want to applaud them. You know, and so I'm up there clapping and clapping. And then Luke, after they kind of go away, Luke started recording again because the lead guy that's making the music is still playing music. And I'm sitting there just kind of like, this is the, but like to capture that little bit of music even at the end was like, gosh, that's rad because we were here for this.
Mm-hmm.
We got to experience this amazing thing, this production that went on. And yeah, you know what? Initially you want to go and praise Lin-Manuel Miranda for doing such an amazing, this incredible thing. But like, then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, dude, the guy that's down there playing on his keyboard and orchestrating the whole music. And I was like, this wasn't just one person. This was a whole team. So when you can get for your focus off of you, when you can get behind the vision of whatever is being cast out there, when you can take your passion and apply it to that vision,
yeah,
you can do things, and you're going to stand out in a way that's not like, oh man, annoying.
If I was on keyboard for Hamilton, I would stand out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'd be promise.
Like, oh, bing bong bing bong bing. I'm like, I don't know
be
what
in
happened.
A good way.
The new cast is horrible.
Right. If I was like, oh man, I really want to stand out. So I'm playing louder than I should or out of key or whatever.
Right.
I'm gonna stand out, but it ain't nobody's gonna thank me for it.
So if you could tell these people out there in the world, the Dutch nation here, how do you stand out, man?
You got to do two things. Find what you're passionate about. And, you know, people, like, don't be proud, man. Don't be someone who needs people to see what you're doing all the time. It's nice when people we care about give us encouragement and give us affirmation. That's important. But that shouldn't be why we do it. And you know what? Some people never see the limelight. And that's fine. Because they're doing what they're passionate about. So find what you're passionate about. And then when you get to start doing it, ask, what can I do and how do I do it?
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions. I think that's something that a lot of people, it keeps them where they're at. Part of it too is that it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter. It really shouldn't. You should be doing things because this is your life. This is your desire. This is your passion. So pursue it. And if it's not working, man, change it until it does. Change your approach.
I couldn't do anything else. I tried doing other things, and I didn't like it. I had to come back to doing production.
Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right, Dutch Nation, thank you for hanging out with us. We hope that you guys are having a fantastic day, and we hope that, you know what? You know, it's not necessarily about standing out. It's more about pursuing the things that you're passionate about and being that support and being that servant to others. So that you can, really achieve the greater things. So,
word.
And you know what? I decided, I'm okay with the Yankees.
Woo!
Yep.
This is the highlight.
Big deal
of my time here thus far.
New York.